This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
Coming up now is the Space Show. An event has just happened an hour and a half ago, and I've been racing to get it edited for airtime, about a ghost rider going to the moon. It's called Blue Ghost, and yes, it is now on its way. First of all, let's go back to 1949 and Vaughan Munro with the theme music for the mission that's just left for the moon, Ghost Riders in the Sky.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a-plowing through the ragged skies, and up a cloudy draw. Ghost heard in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. In the sky, their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet, 'cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky, on horses snorting fire. As they ride on, hear their cry, yibbee-i-oh. Loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, a-riding on our reins, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a-trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies.
From 1949, that's Vaughan Munro with Ghost Riders in the Sky. The theme music for this evening's The Space Show, for reasons which will become apparent momentarily. So, welcome to The Space Show, which is presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, Blue Ghost and Hakuto RM2 are on their way to the moon. We're going to turn our attention to what happened just a short time ago at 11 minutes past 5 this evening. A Falcon 9 rocket from SpaceX launched 2 spacecraft towards the moon. One was called Blue Ghost. It was by the Firefly Company for NASA, carrying a number of NASA payloads. And also aboard was a Japanese moon lander called Hakuto RM2. The two means it's the second Hakuto to be launched. The other one was, I think, last year. So what we're going to do is juggling things. First of all, we'll take a listen to the Blue Ghost launch and see how that went.
All systems are currently go for an on-time liftoff at Launch Complex 39A at Kennedy Space Center. And the moon was looking great. Now, for some reason...
Stage one lock slide complete.
There's that call out we were waiting for. Stage one liquid oxygen loading is now complete. Currently, weather is green and the range is ready to support ET0. And the landers continue to be healthy, and the Falcon 9 team is tracking no issues on the vehicle. Propellant
stage
loading.
Stage 2 locks load complete.
Right on time. That is stage 2 locks load complete. That means propellant loading is now fully complete on Falcon 9. The vehicle is now fully loaded with 1 million pounds of kerosene fuel and liquid oxygen.
Gas launch closeouts have started. Falcon 9 is in startup.
Third call out. This means that the Falcon vehicle's internal flight computers have taken over the launch countdown. We're now just waiting for the final go from the launch director.
LD, go for launch.
And great news. We are go for launch, so let's watch as Falcon 9 takes our two lunar payloads out to space.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition. And lift off. Go Firefly, go high space, go Falcon. Vehicle's pitching downrange.
Plus 30 seconds into launch, Falcon 9 has successfully lifted off from Launch Complex 39A at Kennedy Space Center. Now, the vehicle is going vertically, but it will begin to move horizontally. We're going to gimbal
Falcon
those.
Falcon 9 power and telemetry are nominal.
We're going to gimbal those engines. We're still going up, but now...
Engine air pressure is nominal. Now vehicle was supersonic.
We're moving horizontally, and that helps the vehicle get into orbit and avoid being pulled back down to Earth. Now we are coming up on max Q. This is the largest structural load that the vehicle will see during ascent.
The thrilling sound almost exactly 2 hours ago of a Falcon 9 rocket lifting off from, sorry, the Kennedy Space Center. Less than an hour ago, this is what we heard here at Southern FM. The separation of the Blue Ghost lunar lander craft from the Falcon 9 second stage. Here we go.
Firefly Blue Ghost, separation confirmed.
And there you could see, and you also heard the call out for confirmation that Blue Ghost is drifting away from Falcon 9's second stage. From all of us here at SpaceX, it has been a pleasure having you on board, Blue Ghost. Safe travels.
And there we go. It's well on its way now. So in a moment, we'll hear more about this mission. But first up, let's just take a listen to Frankie Lane's version of that song we played at the start.
Yippee-yay!
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty...
Now, the mission is by a company called Firefly Aerospace. And that name, Blue Ghost, is because there is a firefly called the Blue Ghost. So they have named the mission the Blue Ghost 1. And it's heading towards the moon. It's going to take 45 days to get there for the American one. That's the Blue Ghost lander. The Japanese one will take about 4 to 5 months before it gets there. So we'll talk about that sometime in the future. The landing site for the Blue Ghost is on Mons Latreille, which is in Mare Crisium. Now, that's at 18.56 degrees north and 61.81 degrees east. And if you look out at the moon, which you might get a chance to see later tonight if the cloud clears away, when you're looking at the moon, the south pole of the moon is at the top as we look at it here in the southern hemisphere. And Mare Crisium is very near the north pole of the moon. As I said, it's at 18 degrees north latitude. So when we look at the moon, Mare Crisium is actually at the what appears to us to be the bottom of the moon. In other words, down near the horizon. So that's how you can look at it. And you can actually see Mare Crisium with a naked eye. You don't even need a telescope to see it. So what about the 10 NASA experiments that are aboard? We're going to run through some of them now and hear about the electrodynamic dust shield, which is an engineering test of dust mitigation.
During my whole career here at NASA, I've been very excited for an opportunity like this to demonstrate the EDS technology in the lunar environment. Dust is one of the greatest challenges that was faced in the previous era, and by incorporating this technology into future missions, we're hoping that we're able to help solve that great challenge. The electrodynamic dust shield, or what we call the EDS, is a technology that we incorporate into different materials in order to actively remove dust from surfaces. It works by applying an electric field across the technology, and then it repels dust from the surfaces. The purpose of sending the EDS payload to the moon is to demonstrate that this technology is capable of removing dust in the lunar environment. There are a lot of challenges that we have to overcome in order to prove that, so this will be a great opportunity for us to prove that this technology is capable of being integrated into future missions. Those challenges include solar radiation, the complications of lunar dust, and temperature extremes. When we land on the lunar surface, we hope that we get dust on our EDSs so that way we can demonstrate that they're able to clear the dust off. However, there is a chance that we do not get dust on those EDSs. So we have incorporated what we call a reduster. It works by basically the same principles as the EDS. We activate it and it pushes dust onto the EDSs that we're looking at. And then we turn on those EDSs to clear them off to show that the technology works. In the Apollo days, lunar dust was one of the greatest challenges that astronauts faced. The lunar dust would stick onto astronaut suits, they would carry it into the capsule and end up breathing in that dust, causing all kinds of health issues. Lunar dust would get into instruments and cause delays to scientific results and also shorten EVAs. By integrating this technology and other technologies like it onto future Artemis missions, we're hoping to mitigate all the different issues that dust posed during the Apollo era. This dust can pose a great challenge to a lot of our different missions to the moon and other bodies such as Mars. By using the EDS on lots of different missions, we hope to actually improve the success of these missions by removing dust from systems such as solar panels, thermal radiators, cameras, and windows. So when we see the EDS technology work for the first time on the moon, we're definitely going to be doing lots of cheering and yelling and probably upset a lot of the other operators in the rooms around us. It's gonna be an experience like nothing else, and I can't wait to be there.
Another instrument is the Lunar GNSS Receiver Experiment. And that will use global positioning system signals for both en route and on the lunar surface.
LUGRA is very important to me. I was part of the original concept, and now I've been able to see it through all the way to launch. My name is Joel Parker, and I'm NASA's principal investigator for LUGRA. LUGRA will be the first mission to use GNSS signals at the moon. GNSS, or Global Navigation Satellite Systems, refer to the satellite constellations that orbit the Earth that provide us with the navigation and timing signals we use every day. Spacecraft in orbit around the Earth use these signals to navigate, just like we do here on the ground. Now, working with the Italian Space Agency, LUGRA will show that we can use those signals all the way out to the moon.
My name is Giancarlo Varacalli, responsible for telecommunications and navigation at the Italian Space Agency. LUGRA aims to achieve a double record, being the first made-in-Italy equipment to reach the moon's surface and then receiving GPS and Galileo signals at an unprecedented distance from Earth. Navigation telecommunications will be crucial services for a safe and sustainable moon exploration, including the success of the Artemis program.
Lugar's data will be made public so we can push the boundaries of space navigation.
And the third instrument we're going to look at is the Lunar Environment X-ray Imager, which will look back at the Earth to image the magnetosheath and magnetopause around our very own home planet.
From the narrow field of view astrophysics observation, we've learned that our magnetosphere emits X-rays, which resulted in this LEX emission. And I'm excited that Lexi will give us image from the lunar surface, that fantastic location. Hi, I'm Hyunjoo Konal, a co-investigator of the Lunar Environment Heliospheric X-ray Imager, Lexi. Lexi is a wide field of view soft X-ray telescope that will be deployed to the lunar surface. Lexi is designed to study magnetic reconnection, the process that allows solar wind energy to enter the Earth's magnetosphere. Changes in solar wind condition can trigger different types of magnetic reconnection, modifying the shape and position of the Earth's magnetosphere. These solar wind particles can be energized and creating space hazard for Artemis astronauts. And Lexi will be the first wide field of view telescope and observing this global interaction between solar wind and Earth's magnetosphere. Unlike the gigantic X-ray telescope sent by astrophysicists, Lexi is a small telescope. To get the global view of the magnetosphere, it's better to be far distant from the Earth. The Moon provides a perfect place to take the global picture. So understanding the solar wind and Earth's magnetosphere interaction is crucial for space exploration. Lexi's image will advance this understanding of global interaction between the solar wind and magnetosphere.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
An old cowpoke went riding up one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way.
On this evening's The Space Show, we are describing the Blue Ghost mission, which is now en route towards the moon, as of less than 2 hours ago, more than 2 hours ago now. And we're tracking through the 9 of the 10 NASA instruments which are aboard the Blue Ghost lander. And we're up to looking at the lunar instrumentation for subsurface thermal exploration with rapidity. And this will dig 2 to 3 meters down to place heat flow probes to see how much heat's coming out of the moon.
We're naturally explorers, and we haven't been to the moon in over 50 years, and I'm excited about seeing us return and seeing a new generation be able to participate and learn more about the moon and being there for a longer period of time. I'm Mike Selby. I'm a Lunar Payloads Manager in the Planetary Missions Program Office at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center, and I manage the Lister payload. Lister is one of 10 payloads on the upcoming Blue Ghost Mission 1 lander. Lister is an acronym standing for Lunar Instrumentation for Subsurface Thermal Exploration with Rapidity. It is basically a pneumatic drill with a needle sensor on the end to make temperature measurements. So Lister is hoping to use the pneumatic drill capability to drill down in half-meter increments to make temperature and thermal conductivity measurements of the subsurface of the moon. With the goal of Artemis, or one of the goals being to establish a longer-term presence on the moon, instruments such as Lister help us to learn more about the surface of the moon and how we can be there for a longer period of time and take advantage of resources available to us. Texas Tech is where the principal investigator for Lister is located, and the payload was designed and built by Honeybee Robotics in Altadena, California.
The Lunar Magnetotelluric Sounder uses a magnetometer to measure the electrical properties of the moon.
Although the moon is a relatively primitive body, geologically, its arrested development provides insights into the early evolution of other rocky bodies like Venus, Earth, and Mars. The Lunar Magnetotelluric Sounder is a geophysical instrument designed to probe the moon's deep interior and provide new information on the structure and geological evolution of our companion world. Signals that we're looking at from the solar wind and the Earth's magnetosphere have frequencies that are way below what you might be familiar with as radio waves. These signals take minutes or even hours to complete a single cycle. The benefit of these very low frequency signals is that they penetrate deeply into the moon. This allows us to determine the temperature and composition of the interior of the moon. The magnetic fields are measured by a magnetometer. The electric fields are measured between four probes that are deployed at 90 degree angles around the lander. LMS will be among the first geophysical measurements to assess interior properties of the moon since Apollo. LMS is both simpler to operate and has better performance than these Apollo-era experiments. Its demonstration paves the way for an even better version on a later Eclipse mission, as well as opportunities for other worlds, including Mars. Our team at Southwest Research Institute, Heliospace Corporation, and NASA Goddard all contributed to this first extraterrestrial magnetotelluric measurement.
During the 1960s and 70s, both the Soviet Union and the United States placed reflectors on the moon. That meant that you could send a laser from Earth and shoot it at the retroreflector and it comes back, much like the cat's eyes on the road send a signal back to you from the headlights of your car. So that's, 50 years or more ago, 60 years nearly, and it's about time we put some more up there to get some more accurate measurements. Well, that's what the next generation lunar retroreflector will do. It's a 10 centimeter diameter corner cube reflector.
NGLR is a follow-on to the Apollo retroreflectors that have been on the moon since the 70s. It's more precise, it's a little bit larger, and it's designed to help us understand the movement of the moon. Hi, I'm Dennis Harris, the Lunar Payload Manager for the Next Generation Lunar Retroreflector, otherwise known as NGLR, and I'm at Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. NGLR is designed to return a laser pulse. It starts at the Earth, travels to the retroreflector, and then returns to the Earth. Large amount of science comes out of a simple instrument like a retroreflector. So the two things immediately is we can measure the precise distance, but also it gives us information about the liquid core of the moon and how it moves, which will help the astronauts who will spend time there to understand their environment. I'm excited because this is a follow-on to the Apollo retroreflectors, allowing us to have maybe even a 100-fold better idea of the precise distances to make our measurements more accurate and our predictions about general relativity and the interior of the moon more precise. NASA works in collaboration with the University of Maryland on the NGLR program. NASA Marshall's role is to facilitate the build, the test, the development, the design, and the delivery of the instrument to the lunar surface.
One thing that computers don't like is radiation, that is alpha rays, beta rays, gamma rays, and so on. And the problem is that everything these days works on computers. So this experiment, which NASA is sending to the moon, is a radiation-tolerant computer.
I'm excited to maybe have a chance to build a bunch of low-cost computers that will work in any situation in the solar system. And two, it's very exciting to really have an empirical understanding of the radiation environment on the surface. Hi, I'm Dennis Harris, a Lunar Payload Manager for RAD-PC, which is the radiation-hardened PC that's going to fly to the moon. I'm based here in Huntsville, Alabama at Marshall Space Flight Center. RAD-PC is designed to be a low-cost option to radiation-hardened devices that are currently in operation. Basically, it's a self-correcting PC that will allow low-cost, almost commercial off-the-shelf parts to be used in future missions. The science for RAD-PC is going to be twofold. One, it's going to be how to self-correct low-cost computing on space missions. And two, it's going to give us a real feel for the radiation environment, not only on the surface of the moon, but through the Van Allen belts and through the entirety of the mission. Well, it fits in two ways. One, it could allow us to have functional low-cost computing power, not only on missions, but on the surface. The other way is that we're going to measure two different bands of radiation, a lower level and a higher level. That'll give us a much better feel for the radiation environment that the Artemis astronauts will be subjected to on their mission. I'm excited for the future of computing in space. I mean, having the option for a low-cost, radiation-tolerant computer is fabulous. And I'm also excited to understand the radiation environment. I mean, our astronaut safety comes first. And the Artemis astronauts are going to be on the moon for a long time.
The ninth instrument that we're discussing this evening is the Lunar Planet VAC. And this is to test lunar sample collection. Now, it's not a vacuum cleaner, because vacuum cleaners won't work on the moon unless you're inside a pressurized container.
One day we're going to live and work on the moon. And we need to know, is there any water? Are there any volatiles? Any kind of chemicals that we can use for manufacturing? Say we want to build a landing pad. How can we use the lunar soil to do that? I'm Dennis Harris. I'm the Lunar Payload Manager for Lunar Planet VAC. I'm based in Huntsville, Alabama at the Marshall Space Flight Center. Lunar Planet VAC is one of 10 NASA instruments flying on the next CLIPS mission. It is designed to gather soil samples and either canister them up for a trip back to the Earth or to distribute them to any onboard instruments that might want to do in situ, and that is in-place measurements to look at the chemical composition of the soil. Space is limited on a rocket, and so is the mass. And so anything we can find on the surface that we can use to manufacture or build housing or launch pads is a benefit to the space program in the long term. The Lunar Planet VAC instrument will help us understand the environment on the moon and environments on other planets that we're going to travel to. The same company who's building Lunar Planet VAC is also have very similar instrument flying to Phobos on a different mission. So we're going to look at these different environments that we have to live in long term and understand them better. Lunar Planet VAC is a collaboration with Honeybee Robotics, a company based out of Palo Alto, California. NASA Marshall's role is to facilitate the funding, the design, the build, the test, and delivery of the LPV to the spacecraft for delivery to the lunar surface.
And the one principal investigator we haven't been able to round up for the space show is the person in charge of the stereo camera for lunar plume surface studies, which will look at the dust stirred up during the landing and map the landing site. So there we have it, the 10 instruments that are aboard the Blue Ghost mission to the moon.
An old cowpoke went riding up one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw a plowing through the ragged sky. And up the cloudy drove.
Now, Ryan Watkins is the program scientist for the Blue Ghost mission, and a few days ago gave this description of the payloads and science to be done.
So with 10 NASA instruments on this flight, we are looking at scientific investigations ranging from characterizing Earth's magnetosphere to understanding the structure, composition, and thermal properties of the moon's interior. We'll also be demonstrating technologies to help improve navigation and radiation-hardened computing technologies. Before I give a brief overview on the science that will be conducted on this first Firefly mission, let me tell you about our landing site. So the landing site for this mission is near a volcanic feature called Mons Littrée within Mare Crisium, a more than 300-mile wide basin that's located on the moon's near side. So this unique landing site will allow NASA payloads to gather critical data about the moon's regolith, the geophysical characteristics, and the interaction of solar wind and Earth's magnetic field. So this particular landing site was chosen because it avoids large magnetic anomalies on the lunar surface that could disrupt some of our payload measurements. It's also believed to have limited rocks in abundance, which will allow for safe operations with our onboard drill. In addition, this volcanic feature will serve as a good landmark for our terrain relative navigation capabilities on board the spacecraft. The NASA payloads on Firefly Blue Ghost Mission 1 will help advance lunar research and conduct several first-of-their-kind demonstrations, strengthening our understanding of the moon's environment, as well as helping prepare for human missions to the lunar surface. So this includes things such as testing the collection of Regolith samples, testing global navigation satellite system abilities, again, testing radiation-tolerant computing, and the mitigation of lunar dust. The NASA payloads on this delivery represent the largest, in terms of quantity, manifest of NASA payloads on the CLPS task order to date. These payloads come from all over the United States, including Montana, Texas, Maryland, California, three different NASA centers, as well as some significant contributions from the Italian Space Agency. So I don't have time to discuss all 10 payloads in detail, but let me give you a quick overview of some of the science that we'll be doing. So the moon's surface is quite the dusty area. As we design technologies and experiments for the lunar surface, regolith dust needs to be better understood and accounted for. Lunar dust can affect mechanical components, earth-based materials, degradation, and human health, so we need to know how to account for its effects. So several payloads on board will help us study how lunar dust adheres to various materials, as well as test the usage of electromagnetism to mitigate or prevent dust buildup. We'll also be testing, again, radiation-hardened computing systems to help improve our computing technologies used in deep space. We'll be testing essentially the equivalent of GPS-type navigation. And then other scientific investigations on board will use X-ray imagery to study Earth's magnetosphere, which is where Earth's magnetic field interacts with solar wind. So we can use this data to inform decisions on Earth about things like weather predictions, protecting GPS and satellite connectivity, and then other such things. So in short, NASA is using Blue Ghost Mission 1 as an opportunity to learn more about the internal structure of the moon, learn about Earth's magnetosphere, and test technologies that will aid in improving both robotic and human exploration missions to the lunar surface.
And Jason Kim is the Chief Executive Officer of Firefly Aerospace, and he gave us this overview of the Firefly Blue Ghost mission.
I'm proud to say we are in the final steps of sending Firefly's Blue Ghost lunar lander on its first mission to the moon. We call Ghost Riders in the Sky. On behalf of the entire Firefly team, we first want to thank NASA for entrusting us as one of their CLPS providers. The CLPS initiative has become the bedrock of commercial lunar innovation, and we look forward to continuing this partnership for years to come. After a rigorous qualification campaign, Firefly's Blue Ghost lunar lander arrived at Cape Canaveral yesterday, and our team is currently working preparations for integration on SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket. Following liftoff and separation, Firefly will lead a 60-day mission, including 45 days in transit to the moon and 14 days of surface operations after Blue Ghost lands on the moon. We'll be collecting critical payload science data throughout the entire mission. We'll then wrap up the mission by capturing a solar eclipse and a lunar sunset in high-definition video before operating several hours into the lunar night. We expect to capture a phenomenon seen and documented by Eugene Cerna during his final steps on Apollo 17, where he observed a horizon glow as the lunar dust levitated on the surface. Knowing that Firefly's Blue Ghost mission is a culmination of what the last Apollo astronaut to walk on the moon observed is a fitting tribute to their legacy. We're proud that our mission will support NASA's critical science and technology operations that will pave the way for a lasting lunar presence for our nation, our partners, and the world. While we recognize there will be challenges ahead, I'm confident Firefly's unstoppable team is prepared to softly land Blue Ghost on the moon and operate on this bold mission. Firefly stands ready. Let's go, Ghost Riders in the Sky.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way.
And we'll have more about the Blue Ghost mission and succeeding space shows, because obviously it's going to be 45 days before it gets there. The second lunar lander that was aboard that launch just 2.5 hours ago was built in Japan with final assembly in Germany. And it's a mission by a company called iSpace. The landing site for that mission will be the center of Mare Frigoris. That's at 60.5 degrees north and 4.6 degrees west. And that's an expensive basaltic plain. The lander is also called Resilience. And it'll land 4 to 5 months after today. And will deploy iSpace's micro rover called Tenacious, which was built in Europe with co-funding from the Luxembourg Space Agency. It will use a scoop to test collection of lunar regolith for NASA. Now, the lander mass is 340 kilograms, and the rover mass is 5 kilograms. So this is the space show.
Southern FM.
The sounds of the Bayside.